worthy of a pastor. You know, used to, you know, you've heard somebody say, you know, yesterday I couldn't spell graduate, now I are one. But anyway, so I think I could spell pastor, but now I are one. So, you know, I try to take my responsibility serious, and we'll see that a little bit in the introduction. But, you know, I'm responsible for being a pastor now and so forth. And so I looked up this, but I'll start as far as my introduction. Again, I know y'all have been without a pastor for a while and desiring one and looking and praying and things like that. And I appreciate it. And as far as I'm, again, never been one, never been through this situation. But as far as I can see and as far as I'm concerned, y'all did it perfectly. Not on your choice, but your process. You know, it was prayerful. It's biblical, things like that. And I appreciate that. But I will go ahead and say this. I am not the answer, but I know the answer. I'm not going to fix anything, but I know who can fix everything. I'm not all-knowing. Now, my boys think that I am, because I've told them that I was all their whole life. But I am not all-knowing, but I know the all-knowing. And I don't have all wisdom, but I know who has it. And I don't have all power, but I know who does. And so again, if I will let God be what He's supposed to be, and then you'll let God be what He's supposed to be for you, it'll all work out. I'm not going to fix it. I'm not the answer, but I know the answer. And so if you do come to me as your pastor and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? You know, I might have a thought, but I'm going to say, well, let's see what God has to say about it. All right? You might have to give me a day. I might not have it, the answer, like right off the top of my head. If the Holy Spirit gives it to me right then, I will. But I promise you, I will study and find and pray, things like that, because I do know the answer. And He's got all the answers. He's got all the power. He's got all the wisdom that we need. And so, again, I guess I'm not the answer, but praise the Lord, with His help, I come with the answer. But responsibility basically means here the quality or state of being responsible. Again, those of you that are younger, responsibility hasn't hit you in the face yet, maybe, especially if you're really, really young. And then you get older, and then your parents start giving you responsibilities like clean your room. You know, again, the way I look at it, you know, you got these some of these young guys, you know, maybe they surrender to preach when they're 10. And they're like, you know, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to be a pastor and things like this. Dude, you can't even clean your room yet. All right? If you're not responsible enough to not just slide it under the bed, all right, and pull the covers down a little bit so your mom can't see it, you might not be responsible enough to be a pastor, okay, or to be a leader, or to be doing something that God wants you to do. So responsibility is not just something you say, okay, I'm going to have it today, I'll put it down tomorrow. You have to earn it, you have to grow with it, things like that. So the quality or state of being responsible, especially in a pastor sense, in a Christian sense as well, we have the responsibility of being moral. That's our responsibility, being moral. There's qualifications in that book right there that says that I have to have and it says a Christian ought to have. Then we ought to have a legal obligation, a legal responsibility. Again, I want to be transparent. I want to be upfront. I want you to see it all, and I appreciate the way y'all do it with your financial statement, monthly, things like that. We're legally bound. We have responsibility. We have accountability. And again, I appreciate the deacons that we have. And I will hold them accountable, and I'm sure they will hold me accountable. So I'm all for that. We ought to all be trustworthy. That's what responsible is being. But we're going to look at several verses, and there's several more verses that we could look at as a responsibility of the pastor. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, it says here, but we, it's talking about us pastors. If you read before the first three verses, it talks about that there was so much to do that maybe the preachers were getting overwhelmed. And they were like, well, let's go amongst the people and pick us out some wise fellas. And, you know, y'all have done that. Y'all have picked out two wise fellas. All right, Brother Derek and Brother Raji. And I don't know if me and Brother Derek sit beside each other is a good thing. Because I can tell he's like me and we're a little bit cantankerous or things like that. So, but anyway, we'll try to behave up here, okay? But anyway, y'all have picked out some responsible fellows, and I appreciate them. But it says here, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 4 says, one of my responsibility is to pray for you. And I appreciate the way y'all do that here. We mentioned that in Sunday school. I appreciate the way Brother Raji takes the prayer requests, and we pray for each other. And again, my desire is for my wife to write those prayer requests down so I can pray for them during the week. If I wrote them down, I couldn't read them. So I'm going to have her. She's got beautiful handwriting. She's going to write those down, and I will pray for all those prayer requests during the week. That's one of my responsibilities. If you come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, I have this decision. Would you pray for me?" I promise I will. Again, I don't have the answer, but I know the answer, and I'll talk to him about it. And I'll ask him to give you wisdom and give you understanding and give you guidance, things like that. That's one of my responsibilities. And I promise I'll try to take it seriously. And so we see, I want you to look at all these. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Because you can hold me accountable to these things. I remember growing up and wanting a vehicle. And, my dad said, "Okay, if you'll save up this much, I'll match that." But it was my responsibility to come up with that. "But Dad, it's too hard. And I don't want to have to work," and things like that. And, I mean, he didn't make me, but I had some calves that I was raising by the bottle. I had to feed every morning at 7 o'clock before I went to the bus. And so forth, feeding those calves, and they grew up, and I sold them, and I worked two or three different summers and raised the money to buy my first vehicle, and it was awesome. All right, it was a four-wheel drive Chevrolet pickup, and I think I've had one of those ever since. But that one was 1979, and it was cool. It was jacked up. It was loud. It had big tires on it. All teenage dreams, okay, for teenage boys' dreams. But anyway, I worked for it. It was my responsibility to do that. And so I took that serious. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power." There's a whole lot better speakers than me. I'm just a Georgia redneck, again, and you've already heard my opinion of school. I didn't take that very seriously. But, you know, I'm not going to argue with my speaking ability, probably. All right, but the Bible says that's not my responsibility. Because there's a lot of good speech givers. And they're giving excellent speeches, but they're talking about false doctrine. And with their ability to talk and to present it, it's getting people to change to false doctrine. My responsibility is to preach in demonstration with the Spirit and the power of God. And it ought to be backed up by the Word of God, not some speech. The Bible even talks about that there's people that can speak so well it like tickles their ears. So in other words, they want to go to church this morning, and I'm sure there's churches all over the world where they're sitting there and their little ears are getting massaged with the preacher's speaking ability. But the Bible says my responsibility is not to do that, not to tickle you behind the ear. Not to impress you with a awesome speech. I want to affect with my preaching, not impress. Okay, so I'm not going to get up here with these outlines that, "Oh, wow, they're alliterated." And then they might come across that way. "I got 15 points today. Buckle in. We're going to be here a while." I'll try to keep it lower than 15, I promise. Okay, only have 3 today. It's not about my speaking ability. It's not about my outline. It's not about that. It's about the power of God. And so I'll promise you, I'll pray and try to have that with my preaching. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4. We just got a couple more here. 2 Timothy 4, the responsibilities of a pastor. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, "Preach the word." I'll read while you're still flipping. "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So it's my responsibility as a pastor to preach the Bible. Again, not preach my preferences, not preach my desires. Again, we talked about this yesterday. They called, especially two fellows on this side of the room, called for a revote yesterday when they heard that I was a Duke Blue Devils fan. All right, the wrong color blue for this camp, this area of the country. I know. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I'm not going to say you have to be a Duke Blue Devil to be right with God, or you got to be a Duke Blue Devil to get into heaven. I know that's not right. Okay, so I'm not going to preach my preferences or my desires, things like that. I'm going to preach the Word. And it says here to reprove. So it's my responsibility, if the Lord lays something on my heart, to preach and it reproves you. Now it's between you and God. If the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's between you and God. I've washed my hands of it. Reprove, rebuke sometimes. Exhort, challenge. But then it says here, with all long suffering. We have to add that in there. Some of us, as far as raising our kids, we reprove, we rebuke, and we exhort excellently, but maybe not this with all long suffering. we're like right on the edge. You know, you're driving me crazy, and your kid says, "Well, Mom, that was a short trip." But anyway, you know, you're on my last nerve. Long suffering. Again, that's my prayer. So we see here that I'm supposed to preach God's word, not mine. I'm supposed to preach God's thoughts, not mine. God's rules, not mine. God's preferences, not mine. Last one we'll look at, 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, and then we'll get into the outline. Responsibility of a pastor. 1 Timothy 3, we'll read several verses in this one, and I'll go through them quickly and make a few comments. Starting in verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop," that's a pastor, "he desireth a good work." And again, I think I said this the last time I was up here. When a young man goes to Bible college, he's already surrendered to preach. No doubt that he has that maybe in his mind, "I would like to pastor a church one day." And I had that as an 18-year-old in Bible college. I had that as a 21-year-old when I was out of Bible college. I had that ever since. And so being at an assistant pastor, youth director and a music director for 33 and a half years, I thought, well, I guess the Lord's just not going to allow me to be a pastor. But I desired it. And then lo and behold, y'all know the story, and we'll see it in a few minutes, that God changed that. And so this is a true saying. I desired a good work. Verse 2 says here, "A bishop," a pastor, "then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." And I'll be like Brother Dan. This is my first wife on the back row, okay? And not only is she my first wife, she's my favorite wife. But she's my only one, okay? Ever. All right? Not one wife at a time, all that kind of stuff. So we see here, I'm a husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, a good behavior. I'll try to behave myself. Given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. No striker. I promise I won't come up and punch you. Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So that goes along with that long-suffering thing. Obviously, my boys are grown, and they take care of their own house. I'm done, okay? I'll still be an example. I'll still give them my opinion and all that kind of stuff, but I'm done raising. I took that verse very seriously when they were growing up. Why? Because, and it goes on to say, how could he rule, how he rules his house, his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And so, again, I didn't like correcting, spanking, whatever you want to call it, when they were growing up. Now, they would differ. Their opinions were different. Dad, it seemed like you liked spanking because you did it often enough. They didn't have to have a lot, and so forth. But again, that's just the testimony that goes with somebody that desires the office of a bishop. Now, if they go stupid from here on, I'm not responsible for that anymore. They're out of my house. They better not go wrong doctrinally or wrong standard-wise or wrong this, because I'm going to hunt them down. All right, but I'm not responsible for that anymore. But we ought to take that very seriously. Then it says here, not a novice. I hope by the time I'm 55 and been in the ministry for 33 years, I'm not a novice. And unless he being lifted up with pride. Again, I told you, I'm not the answer. I don't have it all figured out. Or he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so y'all pray for me. The devil's coming after me. You take the office of a pastor, the devil's not happy about it. And so he's going to come after me. So y'all pray for me. And then it says here, moreover, he must have a good report of those that were without. Again, I know Brother Raji ran a background check on me. Smart. Okay, again, some people might can come in here and trick you with their speeches and their abilities, and they don't have a good report. And there's something on their background. Very smart. I appreciate that. A good report of those without. And I know there were some phone calls. I had to have references. And so they called and said, "What do you think of this brother?" Right? It's a good report. It's right here in the Bible. They followed it to a T. And it says here, he fell into reproach and a snare of the devil. So again, y'all pray for me. I lied, right here in the pulpit. We're going to look at one more verse. All right? Forgive me for lying. 2 Corinthians 6:3. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Last verse. Promise. 2 Corinthians 6:3. We're looking at a few of the responsibilities of a pastor according to the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says this, giving no offense. I can't be offensive in anything that the ministry be not blamed. So a pastor ought to have a good testimony and not be, well, that preacher did this, and you know, anybody in the ministry, and I think I told you this before when I was witnessing to my grandfather, he always says, all preachers are crooks. All they care about is money and all this, that, and other, and it's a sham. And the Holy Spirit told me to tell him, well, Papa, you're looking at one preacher that won't be that way. Won't be a crook. Won't be a sham. And so forth. And that's what it says here. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. I hope, with God's help, that I don't do anything that this community would say, well, that pastor up there at Lighthouse, you know, he stiffed me in this and he did this. No. We ought to have a good testimony. So, I have always tried to take my responsibility seriously. Let's say it this way. From when I got right with God at 17, I always took my responsibility seriously. Those first 17 years, not so much. I was a little hellion and God should have probably killed me. But when I got right with the Lord at 17, I started taking my responsibility serious. As a Christian, you can look in the Bible. Just like I looked up all these verses before I accepted the position of pastor. Well, what does the Bible say about a pastor? Because if I'm going to be one, I want to be responsible. I want to do what the Bible says. So as a Christian that was right with God at 17, I started reading the Bible and saying, I should look like this, I should talk like this, I should behave like this, I should treat others like this. Trying to take my responsibility serious as a Christian. And then I read some verses in the Bible as a 17-year-old where it said that I should obey my parents. I was like, uh-oh. I should honor my parents. So at 17, I went to both of them and said, I'm sorry for some of the things that I've done. And I want to start taking my responsibility as a son seriously. And I said, Mom, you'll never have to correct me on this, 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 and this again. And with God's help, I did. Dad, I will never say da-da-da-da-da-da again. I'm going to honor and obey you. I want to take my job as a son serious. I took my job as a friend serious. When I got right at 17, I knew I was on my way to heaven, but I had a lot of friends that I didn't know if they were on their way to heaven. So as a friend, I started witnessing to them, inviting them to church. First person I ever led to Christ was in one of those Chevy four-wheel drive pickups, front seat. His name was Tommy Weaver. Him and I played ball together. I wanted to be a good friend, take my responsibility as a friend. Hey, Tommy, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No. Has anybody shown you what the Bible says you have to do to get to heaven? No. Can I? Yes. Boom, right there in my front seat. Took my responsibility as a friend. Started asking some of them to come to church with me. One fellow named Barry Wilson. He was we were best buds from kindergarten all the way up. I asked him to come to church. He came to church, got saved. A couple of weeks later, his brother came with him. He got saved. A couple of weeks later, his mom came. She got saved. Several months later, the dad came. They were divorced. He got saved. They got remarried. God put the family back together. But you take your responsibility of a friend serious. You know, sup, dude? You might want to go a little further than that. How's it going? You know, fist bump. You know, friendship's more than that. I worry about their soul. I worry about, hey, if you'll get saved and get in church, God can bless you. I don't, you know, again, I'd like for the church to grow like, boom, that would be awesome to me. But more important than that, if they start coming and sitting and learning this book and let God bless them, that's the key. So take your job as a friend serious. Again, I remember becoming one of these at 21. A husband. All right, a husband. I asked her, will you marry me? And of course she said yes, immediately, if not sooner. All right. But then now I'm the husband. I had to take care of her. You know, boom, 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 because something comes breaking in the window. Honey, here's my bat. Go take care of that. No, it was my job to go see who was breaking in. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for praying for her, being an example to her, and encouraging her, things like that. I took that serious. And then I came home from hunting one time. Woo! And there was a paper plate or just a piece of paper? It was paper, all right, on the front door. And da-da-da-da, and I'm reading and reading and reading, and all of a sudden it says, "Congratulations, Dad." Ruh-roh. What do I do now? You know what I did? I went to this book right here and read every verse on fathership and how to be a dad and what my responsibility was. And I took it serious. Okay, I didn't say, well, I feel like correcting today or I feel like letting them get away with murder today. No, I took my responsibility serious. Train up a child in ways you should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That was my job. That was my responsibility. Spare not for their crying. I had one, you just mentioned spanking. Whoa! And it was, let's make a deal. The other one, you almost had to half kill to get a grunt. All right? But that was my responsibility to figure it out. And train them both. Same to you, Slick. I don't know who I said that to. But anyway, I chewed one of them out, just like reamed them out. Was that you? And I walked by his bedroom and said, same to you, Slick. And they were like, all right. I'd already said it. He heard me. I was definitely loud enough. But anyway, as a dad, it was my responsibility. And then when I graduated from Bible college, I got a job as an assistant pastor. I took that serious. My job to assist the pastor. It was right there in the title. Assist the pastor. And I've been assisting and assisting and assisting for a long, long, long time. But I was, don't think I was ever late. I don't think I was ever, nonchalant about it. I don't think I was ever, not exactly what I was supposed to be. Why? Because I took it serious. And so the verses that we just read a while ago, from the time that I got the text message from Brother Raji last Sunday, I was holding my phone in church. I know that's wrong, right? You're supposed to have it up. But I was holding it while the preaching was going on. We voted you in. The responsibility hit me. And I've read all these verses. And I promise you, with God's help, I will take them seriously. And I don't think I'm a good Christian. I don't think I'm a good son. I don't think I'm a good friend. I don't think I'm a good husband. I don't think I was a good assistant pastor. And I don't even think I'll be a good pastor. But God will help in all those places if we'll take it serious. So we see here, what's my responsibility? We'll look at the three-point outline and we'll be done. Number one, pray and study, Acts 6:4. Pray and study. I will pray. I heard when I was in Bible college, I prayed for an hour, and I was, oh, man, I'm going to pray for an hour. And I'll get in and I'll pray for everything that I know about. And I look at my clock, 10 minutes. I'm like, how did they pray for an hour? All right. But a pastor, if he takes his job serious, and when my wife writes down all those prayer requests, I might can get up to an hour or even beyond. And with God's help, I'll do that for you. I'll pray for you. I'll study. I came up here last night at 8 o'clock. Because it was a little loud where we're staying. And it wasn't the grandkids. It was the other four. All right. But anyway, so I come up here. Praise the Lord. Went in there at 8 o'clock last night. And was there for a while. I got here at 8 o'clock this morning. And was there for a while. I love to study. Why? Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So I can rightly divide the Word of God. With God's help and with your prayers, I will do that. Number two, preach the Word. 1 Corinthians 2:4, 2 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible tells me to preach the Word. Again, anything that comes from this pulpit, I promise you it'll be from the Bible. Okay? It might be a testimony of some experience that I had, but I learned it from the Bible. I think I've showed you that as the message that I preach is Bible all through it. That's the only way it's going to affect you. Again, I might tickle your ears. I might impress you with a speech. But if unless it's got Bible in it, it's not going to help you. Last thing, number three. Not only preach and study, or I'm sorry, pray and study, preach the word. Last thing, personify Christ. Personify Christ. It's my responsibility as a pastor to be an example. And obviously I'm going to follow the greatest example, and that's Jesus Christ, and do my best to be what He wants to be. I'll be a good example in my home. I'll be a good example in this church. With God's help, I'll be a good example in this community. I'll be a good example in what we call the fundamental realm. With Facebook and other things like that, there's, you know, all kind of stuff. But I hope they'll never see something about Lighthouse Baptist Church and the pastor on Facebook that's wrong. I want to be a good example. And we ought to be, I want to be a good example in this world. Missionaries that we support and so forth. So, God took His, I guess, responsibility seriously, and I'll go through this real quickly. I shared some of this with Brother Raji and Brother Derek, but God took this serious. I think those of you that prayed about it and voted me in, with what I'm fixing to show you and tell you, I think you'll see that it was God's will. I didn't want to come if it wasn't. I only want to be in God's will. So, several months back, this position of pastor, desiring that job was a good thing, the Bible says, I started feeling God saying that I'm going to make you a pastor. So, I was doing the music at our church, been doing it for a long, long time. And I was like, Lord, there's 80 people in this choir. There's 25 people in this orchestra. And we serve you every week. What do I do with that? So the pastor comes up to me at a volleyball game and says, I've hired this couple. She grew up in our church. He came to our Bible college. They met and they got trained in our Bible college and they've been out in the ministry. But you know what? She plays the piano. He took all my song leading classes. And the Lord said, there you go. I was like, okay, that's fine. But I've been doing the teens for a long, long time too. And, you know, do I just walk away from that? And so, went to another volleyball game. My point is, don't go to volleyball games. But the pastor comes up to me and says, I'm hiring this couple. Again, she grew up in our church. He came to our Bible college. They met. They've been a youth director for 10, 15 years now. Probably not that old, probably 8, 10. And they got hired. And the Lord said, okay, now what's your excuse? And so, I think it was late October, early November, we always have a big conference where we brought preachers all over the world in for a Preacher's Delight Conference. We'd pay for their hotel room, we'd pay for all the meals, and we'd let them get preached to during those weeks. And so I was like, well, I'll talk to Pastor about those two issues after the conference, because I don't want to just leave the conference, because he's expecting me to help with the music, things like that. My mom gets put in the hospital and was told not expected to live. We book it to North Georgia. I miss the first 3 days of the conference. And God's like, I told you, I got it. So all the excuses I gave to the Lord, He shut it down. So then, the Lord put Brother Scott Cottle on my heart to talk to him about churches, because he travels the world and he knows a lot of churches. And I don't know if you've ever done this, because most of you, especially the ladies, haven't Googled, you know, churches that need a pastor. Now, there's pages out there, but you know, like, no, you don't do it that way. So I asked, I said, you know, Brother Cottle would know of a lot of churches that need pastors. And so I started praying about that. And Brian and Victoria, they started in North Carolina at a job in a church there, her home church. We go to be with them on their first service, so they're returning the favor. All right. And so first service, we're there with them. Brother Scott Cottle's preaching. That's just a coincidence, right? So I went up to him and said, Brother Cottle, the Lord's been doing this, told him those stories, and he said, I know everyone. Taylorsville, Kentucky. All right, Lighthouse Baptist Church. He says, I've preached there. They're awesome people. Sweet spirit. You'll love it. I'll send your resume. I don't have one. And he said, well, get me one. So I did Google that. Google, pastor resume was supposed to be on there. Send it to Brother Raji. And so waiting. Nothing. So I said, I'm going to call and make sure they got it. All expecting to get the church answer machine if they still make those. I don't know. Or voicemails, I guess they still have those. So I'm sitting there on the phone, and I'm going to leave a message. This is Brother Robbie Stanley. I sent my resume, just making sure you got it, da-da-da. And I hear, hello, from Brother Raji. I was like, to be honest, I was thinking I was going to get a voicemail. And so I told him, he said, I got it. We've been praying about it, da-da-da-da-da. So, I was going to do that. So someone, I think, was scheduled to preach right before the holidays. And there was a death, and they went to help with that situation and opened up a spot for me to come. Coincidence, right? Then we were like, okay, if the Lord wants us to come, we've got to sell our house. Didn't even have to put it on the market. Sold it. 6 days. Boom. Coincidence, right? Then when we were up here last time, the Lord really, really blessed with that, the sale of that home. Amen. It doubled from the last time we bought it. And if we're old. You know, we're like 55, right? So we started out with the apartment. We got the little house, sold it, and got a little bit bigger, and we've been just... So we were smart, but God blessed. And we were able to find a house up here. The house up here, the guy is a pastor. He'd moved to take another church on the east side of Kentucky. The house is empty, and they said, hey, we'll rent it to you while we're waiting to close. Coincidence, right? So we found that house. We're going to move in it on the 1st. So, and then the last thing, it's y'all's fault. Y'all actually voted me in. Coincidence, right? All right, so I believe that it's God's will for me to be the pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I'm excited about it. Love you guys. And one last verse. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. The reason I take my responsibility serious is because I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account. Not just for me anymore, but for all of us. That's a heavy responsibility as a pastor. So pray for me. The devil's going to try to attack. Pray for me that I have wisdom. Pray for me that I have God's power. I'll promise you I'll do every bit that I can on my part. But praise the Lord. And I'm excited. And I think everything's up from here. Amen? Into heaven. But I think God's going to bless. I think we're going to grow individually, collectively, and I'm excited about it. And so, responsibilities of the pastor, I will do my best to take them serious. You pray for me so that I can take them serious. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand. And Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany's going to come and do an invitation. If you would like to come, pray for me. Pray for the church as we grow. You're welcome to. The altars are open, and we'll open it up here in a little bit for some membership.